let's kick this off with a holistic mom weight loss truth bomb. Your weight is the last thing you need to worry about. Look, I get it. You want your body and energy back. You're anxious, stressed, sleep deprived, feeling unattractive in stretchy leggings that aren't quite stretchy enough, and it is a struggle to sift through all of the crunchy health advice out there. It feels overwhelming. Deep breath, friend. I'm Kristen Noriega. As a registered dietitian, I've helped hundreds of women support their hormones, lose weight, and keep it off. We're gonna get your hormones, gut, and body systems squared away. Once your body is working for you, the last piece of your health puzzle, your weight, is gonna fall right where it's supposed to be. All right, friend, reheat your coffee, get ready to take some notes. It is time to thrive. Okay, so here we are with Leah. Leah, I read your bio. We know all the things about you, except we really don't. Can you tell us a little bit more about who you are?
Like you heard, I'm a certified functional practitioner. I specialize in hormone balance. I got into this, I think like a lot of us, you know, it's because of our own story, our own struggles, and we don't want other women to have to go through that. Mine started when I was diagnosed with fibroadenomas, which are benign breast tumors. If you don't know, because I also had to Google that when I was diagnosed, I'm like, what is that? All I knew was that I had a golf-sized lump in my breast. And that's a very sizable lump. So it was kind of scary. And that's what got me started. You know, I got very focused on these fibroadenomas, going to different doctors, going to practitioners, like trying to figure out, doing all the testing, doing all these things. And while I was on that way, I never, ever, ever got an answer to my fibroadenomas. Now, doing what I do, I look back on that time and I'm just like, why on earth were these naturopaths and these doctors not talking to me about my periods? Like, why were they not asking about my cycles? Why were they not commenting like, oh, you have extremely painful periods. Oh, you're throwing up on your period. There's got to be a connection there. No, everyone's just so focused on my fibroadenomas and I never got anywhere. They never shrunk. All I got was a lot of disordered eating with all of the restrictive diets I got put on because, you know, that's the cure-all is like, eat three foods and, you know, all of your health issues will then be solved. That's when I started going off on my own and I hit the books and went on to study more. And I was able to get painless periods. I was able to raise my progesterone. I was able to regulate my cycles and get rid of my fibroadenomas. That is when I started to really look at women's health and literally health in general as more big picture. Like we need to, you know, I understand that we need specialities, you know, but at the same time, no system in our body works independently, you know? So it's so important when we're working with our health to take a bird's eye view. You have to get up over top. You have to see what's going on and see how all of the pieces put together on top of that person's history and their lifestyle. Because you can give, you know, a protocol to someone that may be the perfect protocol, but if they can't implement it based on their lifestyle choices or what's going on in their life, maybe they travel all the time, then they're not going to implement it and they're not going to see results. So I really think big picture, but like very personalized to everyone is just such a gold mine when it comes to our health. That's why I do what I do.
Fortunately, you were able to sort through those really painful periods and the adenomas. And, you know, now you're making impact for many other women who don't know where to start, or they don't have the time to go through the books. They don't know which foot to put in front of the other one. And so what a blessing you are to so many women. And I love that you're talking about the big picture, because today we're really talking about a man's role in fertility. You and I on our podcast, we're talking women's health to death, left and right and up and down and all around. But what about the man? So how does a man's health, or what is his role in fertility?
I always call this like it takes two to tango, because we often, when we're dealing with infertility and we're dealing with even issues during pregnancy, we always kind of come back to the woman. We're like, oh, you know, XYZ, I have low progesterone. I have poor egg quality. You know, we like to just come on ourselves, like totally beat ourselves down. It's all our fault. And you know what? It totally takes two to tango, okay? And he plays such a big role in this in terms of obviously the obvious, but then there's the not so obvious. Like when we think about sperm quality 40 years ago, what is going on with men today in terms of sperm quality would have been considered infertile. And that blows my mind because instead of like, we have all these ranges for what's normal when it comes to testing, right? And we have really healthy people and we have really sick people. And most people kind of sit somewhere in the middle, right? You don't feel really great, but your labs aren't bad enough for your doctor to say, oh, you need a medication. So, you know, when we are looking at all of this, these ranges of tests, and we see like, oh, the general population is getting lower and lower and lower. Oh, what do? We don't say, oh, what's going on? Why is this happening? It's like, no, no, no. Let's just move the range down. Okay, so you're still normal. You're still normal, right? And it's crazy to me that we see this massive rise in infertility and we're not making these connections on what's going on with endocrine disruptors and plastics and nutrition and all of these chemicals. And why are we seeing such a massive rise in miscarriages and infertility? Instead, we just go, oh no, it's just things are normal. I'm like, no, they're not. We don't feel normal.
If you're normal compared to the person next to you who also has all these same issues, then what's normal?
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's also too where you need to come down, you know, to yourself. Like, do you feel good? Do you feel abundantly energetic all day? Is your digestion great? Do you have stable moods? Like, if you don't feel great, then I'm sorry. Something is wrong. Even if you're quote unquote labs are coming back normal, we need to dig a little bit deeper. And so when it comes to men and their role in fertility, not only does their nutrition and their genetics impacts the epigenetics of the baby, it also impacts the placenta. When we think of placenta health, you know, we also think about gestational diabetes. We think of preeclampsia. And men's sperm, not only like obviously it carries their genetics and all of that, which I feel like we know, but it also carries vitamins, folate, and zinc. So it's really important that we are also paying attention to their nutrition. We are seeing a little bit of a rise in men's prenatals. And it is because of this. But also, I think, you know, we need to be looking at them in terms of like their nutrition, what they're eating day to day. And I know everybody hates this, but like alcohol content, smoking, right. Exercise.
Amen to that.
Yes. I was like, don't say that, Leah. But it is important. It's important. It's so crazy to me when, you know, I'll have women who check all of these boxes and they'll still end up with gestational diabetes. But then you have to look over it. It takes two to tango. Like, what else is going on here? Because, you know, when we're talking about gestational diabetes, we're looking right at that placenta, right? So we need to be looking at the things that impact the placental health, which one of those is the man. And so we have to be paying attention to his nutrition and quality of life. I think it just goes to say, basically, when we're looking at preconception, a lot of times we tend to think like, oh, I'm pregnant. Now I need to pay attention to my nutrition. I'm pregnant. Now I need to pay attention to my health. But you actually want to be paying attention to these things 3 to 6 months prior, okay? Because when we're thinking, for example, of egg quality, your follicle is getting ready to, is developing that egg from follicle immaturity to when that follicle matures and releases an egg is 90 days. So that's 3 cycles. So you want to be paying attention to everything to do with conception, 3 to 6 cycles. So 3 to 6 months, give or take how long your cycles are prior to conception, because you can directly impact egg quality and he should be coming along with you in that journey. So it's not like we pay attention to all of these things as soon as we get pregnant. It's like, no, we need to be paying attention to these prior to conception, okay? Because our nutrition, his nutrition impacts the epigenetics of the baby. You know, we're affecting placental health, like all of these things. And it does take two to tango, but also we need to be thinking about this sooner.
For sure. I like this point about the placenta, and you just kind of blew my mind. this isn't an area that I necessarily focus on, the men's role. And it's like, you just said the placental quality is affected by their nutrition. Mind blowing, because there's so many women who have preemie babies because of placental insufficiency or different problems with it. So this backs it up. I mean, however many months before they had that problem, what was going on before then? Also, the lifestyle, if you're making changes and your partner's not doing it, not willing to change, not being supportive, then there is strife in the home, and that causes stress, that causes mealtime stress, grocery stress, all these other things, which negatively affects every downstream path.
Yeah. It's so hard here too, because when I found out a lot of things in terms of what mom passes on to babies, I already had one kid. I'm over here like, oh, sorry, buddy. I just gave you my heavy metals and my gut microbiome and everything else I passed on to you. Sorry, including like adrenal health and stress. Like, and moms do have a massive, 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 massive role. It's easy to kind of like learn this new information and to feel really guilty and to shame and want to lay blame. And this is not what this is about. Yeah. Okay. Because you don't know what you don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't want it to be like, oh, husband, you caused these issues. It's like, no, 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 no. It's when we know better, we do better. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, letting go of what happened. But now we look forward and we say, okay, what can we actually do in order to support pregnancies going forward and things like that? You know, we need to not get caught up in the blame game or looking back and saying, oh, you know, like, I wish XYZ would have happened. It's because, no, we don't know that.
Absolutely. So what are the things that a man can do to improve or positively impact the pregnancy and fertility? Can you list a couple?
Yeah. So honestly, like, one of the simplest things is just nutrition, right? Something I always recommend is, I know we always hate these types of food, but focusing on foods that are high in zinc. Men need zinc. You know, we need zinc for sperm quality. We also need vitamin A. That's another really big one. And so if you're just looking at this from a food perspective, like, what are things that the men can do to increase their fertility? It's going to be increased nutrient dense food and get a variety in, right? I know this goes without saying, but reducing the packaged and the processed foods and focusing more on the fresh, very nutrient dense. And nutrient dense, high in vitamin A, high in zinc, all of these things actually are beef organs. Cod liver oil, oysters, mussels, like those types of foods that I feel like maybe we don't eat a lot of are also very nutrient dense and very, 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 I mean, if you want to call them fertility supporting foods, I mean, I don't think you can really give them a label, but that's kind of where they sit. So I think that that would be a great place to start, is in terms of just getting in more of those foods. And that can be something, you know, let's say you're looking at it and you go, okay, there's no way I'm going to eat that every day.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm like, you're going to have so many people who are like, hard pass.
Yeah, but can you start with one time a week? Can you start incorporating one time a week? Everything doesn't change overnight. So like, let's pick one new food and we're going to find some ways to incorporate it. So maybe that's beef organs for you. And when I first started incorporating beef organs, I was like, this is so disgusting. And why would I ever do this? And this is dumb, but I care about my health. So I'm going to do this. I would sneak them into things. Like, I would blend it up with ground beef and I would make a meatloaf with it, or I'd blend a little bit up when we make hamburger patties or any type of like beef dish. I would mix just a little bit in. You don't need a massive amount. And that's a great way to like sneak it in. Okay. Or maybe you go out with your husband and you're like, okay, we're going to try some oysters today and just kind of see, make somebody else make them for us and see how they taste. You know, try some of these things, start incorporating them and think about maybe crowding out. So it's like, if right now 7 out of your meals every week are highly processed and takeout or going out or whatever, okay, next week it's going to be 6. And then the next week, maybe we can do it to 5. and next week can be four, right? It doesn't have to be overnight, but where can we start incorporating these foods? And for some people, some of it needs to come in terms of supplementation because you can only meet certain things, but you have to start with your food first, right? So like sometimes we'll bring in cod liver supplementation, or maybe you do want to bring in a male's version of a prenatal to make sure that you're being supportive in that area as well. And then other things that, you know, we do that they should be doing as well is going to be paying attention to balancing blood sugar, because that's going to lower inflammation in the body. Get out and get movement in, right? It's create muscles, sensitize our cells to insulin. Literally, the more we can just support optimal health in our body and in their body, the better off we're going to be. So it doesn't have to be dramatic. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm now going to like do a triathlon or an Ironman. It's like, okay, no, if right now our movement is zero, maybe we're going to start walking. And then maybe we'll move and do like some at-home workouts. And then maybe we'll do some weightlifting at the gym, right? It's baby steps to get there. Because when you think about all of these things, like, they're optimizing your health. So if you want to optimize your health, I'm assuming you want to optimize it long-term. So if you try and overhaul everything tomorrow, you're not going to notice a difference because you're not going to stick with it. You're going to get 3 weeks in, 2 weeks in, you'd be like, this stinks. I am not doing this. Screw it all, Leah. But if we start with one thing, so maybe you just start with nutrition. We're like, okay, right now we need to figure out a way to not eat takeout 7 days a week. Okay. Or maybe we need to look at adding in beef organs. Okay, that's where we're going to start, right? For me, that was one of the grocery stores that we have here actually sells bison, like mixed with beef organs. And so that for me was my start. I was like, great, don't have to touch it, don't have to smell it. It's already like ready to go. That's what I'll do. You have to find a starting place that you feel comfortable with, and then you can kind of go from there.
Right. Okay. Funny story before I have a couple other reflections. We're living in Germany. We went and got this meatball soup when we first moved here. We had no idea what it was. And we were all eating it like, this is the best thing ever. Months later, we found out it was liver meatball. And it's fantastic. And now I want it all the time.
Yes. So I haven't like found something necessarily where I'm like, wow, that's fantastic beef organs. But I can definitely make it so that I don't taste it. I can totally do that.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing that jumped out at me is they're listing all these different options. You said oysters. The other thing that came to mind for me was that they're really high in selenium, which is also really important for sperm concentration and motility. Mm-hmm. And so that jumped out at me as something that was stored way in the back of my brain. I'm like, yeah, I know this.
Pull that out.
Pull that out. Heck yeah. I like your approach because it totally aligns with mine. You can't do everything overnight. You can't change your health overnight, even with the best of intentions and the best of plans. It takes time. And like you said, 3 months to improve egg quality.
Egg quality, right? Yeah.
If someone signs up as a client with you and they want to, you know, improve their fertility, are you the type of practitioner who says, okay, stop trying to conceive for 3 months till we fix this? Or I know this could be controversial. What do you recommend?
I stay out of their bedroom.
It doesn't take three to tango, just two.
It doesn't take three. Whenever I'm dealing with a fertility client, husband has to come on board. So that is something that I do require, is that, you know, he also has to be in agreement into what we're doing and what he's implementing. It's always crazy to me because, like, once we start implementing that, some of the first things that I hear from the women are like, oh my gosh, he is so much happier. I'm like, yeah, because his body's not inflamed and he has more energy and he feels better. Of course he's happier. And so that's always nice because then they're feeling better. But it really just kind of depends on what's going on. You know, sometimes I'll have clients where they come in and we'll do some testing and they have like extreme, like, copper toxicity that they're dumping, or dumping a lot of metals and things like that. And so then I'll just share that with them, and then they can make an educated decision on what they would like to do. And then I just support them on what their decision is, because I don't want it to be like, oh, I recommend that you wait this. Mm-hmm. And then they aren't actually doing that. And I put them on a protocol not expecting them to get pregnant. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's just they let me know what they would like to do. And then I adapt the protocol to kind of support to the best of that ability. Because it is crazy to me, like, how much pregnancy is actually a detox of heavy metals for mom. So I'm always, like, very conscious of, like, binders and things like that.
How interesting. I think that's a mark of a good practitioner, someone who goes into the plan in agreement with the client instead of saying, mm-hmm. you're doing X, Y, and Z. So props to you for doing that.
Of course.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to share about men's fertility and the role they play here?
I think one thing after listening to this, you're probably going to run and be like, guess what? But I think it's really important to, like, share from a good place, not like a place of blame, or like, think it's interesting to always share from a state of interest. Like, hey, guess what I learned today about women's health? And then I also learned this about men's health. Like, have you ever heard this before? Isn't that cool how we can work together on this? I think coming from that place of explanation. Mm-hmm. Also, I think, you know, there's a lot more, and I'll send you studies if you want to, like, link them in the show notes for people to kind of, like, look through, because it is crazy to me to see, like, how paternal environment and lifestyle will impact, you know, the placenta health, and then also just women's health during the pregnancy as well, because I talked about men having the vitamins in their sperm. And so this is, you know, something that I think is a good conversation to have. And, you know, guys like studies, you know, guys like data. So maybe, like, bring the studies, bring the data after you, like, do the interest and open that conversation from that aspect. Because I think, you know, they do really want to support us and they do really want to help us. It's just sometimes maybe they just don't know how. Sometimes what I tell my clients is you have to state the fact. And then state, like, how it makes you feel. Like, hey, I learned this. I was very interested about it. I would love for you to what XYZ. Tell them what you need from them. And maybe it's you start out with, like, can you just read it? Like, I just want you to read it and tell me your thoughts on it. You know, I think then that way you set yourself up for a good conversation. And then you both together, because it takes two to tango, can take that forward into changes you want to make in your lifestyle.
That is such practical advice to wrap this up. Heck yeah. Let's just keep this in the positive fashion. No blame. You said that so many times, and that's so key. No blame. You do what you can. You take this and present the facts, know the facts yourself, and roll with it one step at a time. Well, Leah, this has been fantastic. Where can my listeners find you?
I have a podcast, Balancing Hormones Naturally, so you can definitely come chat with us over there. And I'm also on Instagram, Leah, L-E-A-H underscore B-R-U-E-G.
Thank you so much for your time. And everybody go check out Leah's stuff and give her a shout out. And thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, friend, hold up real fast. Would you mind leaving a review? Open your phone and hit 5 stars and then the little pencil button and leave a review. You can be anonymous, you can create any sort of name you want, and this is going to help the show get to more women. This is going to help spread the messages that God has placed on my heart and has somehow ended up in your hands. We're here for a reason. Please leave a review and let's get this show into the hands and hearts of more women who need this in their lives. Your review is so appreciated. I can't tell you how much it means to me and how much it means to my family. I'm taking time out of my day, my life, to deliver this content to you, and I love it so much. To hear back from you means the world to me. Please leave a review, hit those 5 stars, and I'll catch you on the next episode.